Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. Stay Well is the theme song for the radio series, that is RadioMD.com, the radio station. But our theme is that you can take control of your genes to live at the highest point for the longest time, and it really works. And today we have just a series of wonderful, wonderful stories, medical stories in the literature. They keep coming. You know, when we started doing the research for the Real Age book, there was about one a month. By the time we published that was in 93. The time we published the book in 99, maybe one a week. By 2004, maybe one a day, and now they're coming three and four a day. It's literally a full-time job to keep up with the reading, but it is wonderful reading, and so we should do it. So Wellness Foreplay, and that's what I summarize for you, by the way, that week of reading. Wellness Foreplay segment today, what laboratory tests should you get at what age? And we will come back to that. We're not going to do that as the starting segment. We'll come back to that segment a little later on during the show. Well Beyond Wellness segment, are statins for the elderly generally good? The answer, you betcha. We'll tell you why. Generic drug price gouging. Hillary talked about it, but it is a real problem. I'll give you a real example and why the Bass Man may be able to do something about it. Diagnoses are wrong too often and sometimes too delayed. You need to get a second opinion, and this I strongly believe. Dr. Oz and I believe that any time you are going to do something for more than 3 days in a row, you're going to take an antibiotic for 7 days, get a second opinion. It really, really does make a huge difference for your life and your outcome. So I strongly have great belief in that. By the way, we'll cover all these subjects in the show today, but if you want to email us, you can always email us at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. We've got that working, and we've got a great guest at the bottom of the hour, so you can send us questions. The Microbiome Solution, the great Robin Chutkan. She is a physician at Georgetown, trained at Columbia, undergrad, I can't remember where, but also at a very good institution. So she's a top person in this field and has written just a sensational book called The Microbiome Solution, A Radical New Way to Heal Your Body from the Inside Out. It's really early in this process, our knowing microbiome, and she is one of the people who will let you know where the status is on where we're going. So we're going to put her, and I hope you will give us questions for her, put her on the pedestal and see how well she can do at helping us learn what we should do to improve your and my microbiome. The Automega segment, stress management, physical activity, diet, not pills, are the best bet for brain power, but pills can help too. We'll tell you which ones. Killing the USA's and the world standard of living, consumers are embracing full fat, lousy fat type foods. This is horrible. Butter use has gone up in the United States. Saturated fat and meat has gone up. It was actually a study done by a Credit Suisse to advise Wall Street on what they should invest in, but it's horrible to invest in saturated fat food because it's killing our standard of living, and it's killing us because of that. We're learning how to treat chronic diseases that increases our costs, but it also means we can treat them, that keeps you alive, but by increasing costs, it kills everyone's standard of living, because we share medical care costs either through the government programs like Medicare and Medicaid in the U.S. or the Canadian provincial programs, or all those, if you will, government programs in Europe, China, Japan, etc. But it is a killer because it hurts our standard of living. In fact, one of the articles this week is health insurance deductibles are outpacing wage increases. That means you have to pay more for your deductible. In fact, every penny of increased productivity for the workers in the United States since 1994 has gone to medical costs or to medical insurance, something we should really be careful of continuing to increase. Scientists are found another way to disarm deadly bacteria without destroying the good ones in your gut. That's how to do that is a microbiome treat, and that wasn't done by, that wasn't part of Robert Chutkin's Robin. Why am I doing this? Saying her name wrong. I'm going to get it right. Robynne Chutkin, Chutkan, The Microbiome Solution. It wasn't part of her book on the scientists finding the deadly way to disarm bacteria without destroying the good ones in your gut, but it is something we'll talk to her about because it is new in the news this week and it is part of what she's talking about, your microbiome. We'll talk about the importance of fidgeting. I fidget all the time. That's a good thing. It keeps your weight down. In fact, this is a large study from Great Britain, 14,000 women who rated their fidgeting. Those who fidgeted most had no weight gain, even if they were sedentary, meaning sitting down. So fidgeting blocks the effects of sitting. But at the same time, we found out that sitting is bad for your blood vessels. Sitting just 3 hours or lying just 3 hours in kids really disabled their blood vessels' ability to dilate and respond normally to vascular stimuli. You need more blood flow someplace. So fidgeting, keep doing it if you're doing it. We're going to come to all these stories. In the second hour, as all of you know, we have 2 hours of the show. Second hour, we're going to talk to Gary Ginsberg. So if your station doesn't carry the second hour, don't worry. You can always get it. Or if you're going to have to leave for a party or something, you can always get it later on Radio MD in the archives. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Go to RadioMD.com. Go to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show in the archives. We hope the radio stations will carry both hours. But if you don't or you have to leave, you can get Gary Ginsberg. I love the Gary Ginsberg segment, What's Toxic, What's Not, because he teaches me so much about the environment. Well, his stories today, what the VW admission scandal means for our health, and have we seen a change in, if you will, particulates because of that? What's the projection? 11 million cars. How many millions of cars are there out on the road? And does this matter at all other than to Volkswagen and the image of Volkswagen? Fish Strummer warns about heavy metals. Is he talking about the metal or the music? Gary will tell us. Fish contamination with plastic, what that means when you're eating fish. And New Hampshire kids drank non-stick military chemical. What does that mean for them and for us? Who should you avoid? Restaurant Report Card grades on antibiotics and on hormones in meat supply. It's why you should use Chipotle, Chick-fil-A, and one other, Panera, and why you shouldn't do any of the other quick-serve restaurants. Taking blood pressure drugs at night wards off diabetes. Now, this isn't just a small change. This is a 50-plus percent change. So take your blood pressure medicines. If you're doing it, I've always held patients to take them when they feel best doing it, and then monitor it. That isn't the way you should do it. Take them at night from now on. And, of course, alcohol and marijuana in food not smoked is a preventive medicine. We'll talk about that. Remember, limit quantities. And we've got our Real Age Tip of the Week also coming up. Tests on former brains of NFL players continue to show CTE. We'll be right back.
Yeah. It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Whenever we talk about cancer, we always use the same word, someday. Someday there'll be a cure. Someday we won't lose the people we love. But when is someday? Someday is today. Thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, hundreds of thousands diagnosed with blood cancer are today living a normal life. In the past 12 years, half the cancer therapies approved by the FDA were first approved for blood cancer patients, many with research supported by LLS. We are on the brink of life-changing breakthroughs. You can make these happen sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. Help us make cures happen. Help us reach today sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org.
I'll never get used to these 10-mile runs. They are taking so much time out of my day.
Are you training for a marathon or something?
Diabetes runs in my family, and I heard if you lose lots of weight, you can prevent it. So I started running like crazy, and I cut my calories big time.
Oh, get real. You don't have to knock yourself out to prevent diabetes. My doctor said it's the small lifestyle changes you make that matter, because it's easier to stick to them.
Wow, really?
It worked for me. 6 months ago, I started walking a lot and I stopped eating the fried stuff. I've lost 10 pounds. My doctor said I'm doing great.
I'll have to ask my doctor about this. I'd love to get my life back.
Talk to your healthcare provider. Losing a small amount of weight by being active 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier can prevent type 2 diabetes. To get your free game plan for preventing type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
Well, we called this the Automega segment, but really it is a well beyond wellness segment or wellness foreplay segment. Fits all three credits or characteristics of those segments. There's a new report published this past week by Credit Suisse Research Institute. They're doing this to help guide Wall Street and investors what to invest in the future. They found that sales of butter in the United States rose 14% last year and another 6% in the first 3 months of 2014. Sales of whole milk as opposed to skim milk, 11% increase, while skim milk fell 14%. Red meat and eggs, they predicted, would rise in the future, now in the coming years. This is horrible. Horrible news, horrible for your health. Don Toledo, actually, Don sends me emails all the time and says it. The email is from the New York Times fashion section, why everything is bad for you. And it says if you eat something, well, you're going to die anyway. And so they get you to associate. Well, this is not association studies. We know that saturated fat and the things that come with it, such as red meat and egg yolks, it's not the saturated fat, it's the actual stuff that comes with it, apparently, the protein that comes with it, changes your microbiome, that is, changes the bacteria you get in your gut, and those changed bacteria produce things such as trimethylamine and butylbutane, and those are two of the leading ones that they produce, that you absorb and that cause kidney disease and cause inflammation in your body. Now, the did this work thinks that in a couple of years, we will have something you can eat with the saturated fat that negates its effect. But right now, we know that you should avoid red meat and avoid egg yolks and things with lecithin, choline, and carnitine in it. And carnitine is the red stuff in red meat, if you will. It's the red protein. So we want you to avoid those. The increase in this increases your chance of having heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, and inflammation throughout your body, which increases your risk of cancer and brain rot. So what is good, though? Well, we know from a number of studies, people eat more nuts, eat more legumes, fruits and vegetables, you actually do better. You have a lower risk of dying, or as we say, you make yourself younger. So that's the what to do. Why is this so important for the U.S.? It's important because our costs of medical care are now crowding out the costs of research, the costs of social programs, the costs of education, everything we care about, even defense, even our security. And those crowd outs from the saturated fat aren't something that's 20 years in the future. We're now at about 18% of GDP spent on medical expenses. It's increasing faster than anything else, even though the increase has slowed down. It's still increasing faster. And that's because chronic disease is increasing. Just look at diabetes. When I started practicing, 2.2 million type 2 diabetics in 1974. Last year, 29.2 million in the U.S. The year 2050, 120 to 220 million. That'll use 17% of our GDP by itself. Well, it can't happen, so we're getting rationing. And the pharmaceutical companies are getting rich on it, too. But it isn't just them. It is everybody is spending more money. And it isn't just because of the pharmaceutical gouging, but that is a problem, and we'll get to that in a second. But this is that if we don't get sane with the way we eat, we are going to have a very rationed or medical system, meaning only the rich will be able to pay enough to get the drugs they need. And that will cause a disruption in society because we won't, I don't think as society, allow ourselves to in fact have a more than 17 or 18% spent on medical costs. Since chronic disease will keep going up, we will ration care, and that's horrible because it will disrupt society. The co-bit of the story on this is that, in fact, the amount of money having to be spent on insurance co-pays and deductibles is outpacing wage increases. Well, you'd expect it to. Why would you expect it to? Because it's going up so fast, medical costs, that in order for us to afford insurance, you've got to have higher deductibles. And the higher deductibles are killing our standard of living and really hurting everyone and causing this disruption of societal well-being or this standard of living that all of us have. Let me give you the example that's here in the story, although the cost of deductibles, this is, if you will, the average cost of a family plan, according to Kaiser, was health insurance plan was $17,500 this past year, but $5,000 of that is deductible. So huge increase in deductibles. But that's happening throughout the whole process, if you will. The average deductible, yearly average, climbed from $900 in 2010 for an individual plan to above $1,300 this year. One in five workers has a deductible more than $2,000. Well, we can't keep up with that. What will happen is we'll just ration care, and this is causing a rationing of care. It's also causing a very funny thing. We see a peak of medical care demand now in the back-to-school season and in the Christmas season, just like you would retail. Why? Because with the high deductibles, once you pay off your deductible, which happens towards the end of the year or towards the beginning of the school year, you get everything. So the kids are getting all their medical costs. If they've paid down their deductible, they're getting it all in that pre-September go-back-to-school rush. And if they have made it past there, well, obviously, as they run through their deductible in November, then they're getting every medical elective thing done in December. And so it's really increasing. It's making the healthcare industry like a retail industry in that we have peak periods of back-to-school season and of the Christmas rush due to those deductible paydowns. So that's really some interesting things. The basic message, though, is stop eating foods with saturated fat. Butter is not healthy. Whole milk is not healthy. Red meat is a killer. And whatever you say, it is not healthy. Packaged food, sugar, same thing. Those aren't healthy. There are five food felons: saturated fat, trans fat, simple sugar, added syrups, and simple carbohydrates or stripped carbohydrates. We'll see a new food guideline out this year from the USDA advisory panel. It hasn't come out yet, but I expect to see much of this in that food guideline. Restaurants got report cards because the antibiotics in the meat supply are causing a real antibiotic resistance when we get diseases. And so they looked at the 25 largest U.S. fast food and fast casual restaurants. Who were the best? Well, you probably know that. Chipotle, Panera Bread, and Chick-fil-A fared the best. All three of those should get A's for, in fact, not having antibiotics in the food. But they're also the same ones that are really decreasing the hormones in food, and that should help us all. So that's the remember, the ones you don't want to go to, you can guess those restaurants, right? It is every of the other one. The Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's receive C's, but Subway, Wendy's, Burger King, Denny's, Domino's, and Starbucks all got F's. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on Radio MD. Stay well.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why? Because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eat.com. veggiefries.com. Mm-mm, veggie fries.
Are you suffering from hidden allergy symptoms such as lack of focus and fatigue? How about bloating, joint pain, headaches, or anxiety? Hi, I'm Dr. Suzanne Bennett, natural allergy and wellness expert. I have condensed over 25 years of my clinical experience into my new book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, a simple program to eliminate allergies and restore vibrant health from the inside out. This book is for anyone who wants more energy, more mental clarity, a powerful body, and to live allergy-free. I am offering 4 free gifts when you order my book today through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. For more information, go to drsuzanne.com/book. Again, that is drsuzanne.com/book to jumpstart your healing today.
Whenever we talk about cancer, we always use the same word. Someday. Someday there'll be a cure. Someday we won't lose the people we love. But when is someday? Someday is today. Thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, hundreds of thousands diagnosed with blood cancer are today living a normal life. In the past 12 years, half the cancer therapies approved by the FDA were first approved for blood cancer patients, many with research supported by LLS. We are on the brink of life-changing breakthroughs. You can make these happen sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. Help us make cures happen. Help us reach today sooner. Call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org.
Every 39 seconds, an adult dies from a heart attack, stroke, or related disease. These conditions claim the lives of more than 800,000 adults each year and are largely preventable. Two leading risks for heart disease and stroke are high blood pressure and high cholesterol, serious conditions that often have no symptoms. 68 million adults have high blood pressure and 71 million have high cholesterol. Here's what you can do to reduce your risk. Take your prescription medications to control blood pressure or cholesterol. Eat a healthy diet that's low in salt, fat, and cholesterol, and full of fresh fruits and vegetables. Take a brisk 10-minute walk, 3 times a day, 5 days a week. Don't smoke. If you do, quit now. While you've been listening, one person has died from heart disease or stroke. You don't have to be next. Learn more about how to keep your heart healthy at www.cdc.gov/heartdisease.
And now, back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and we have a wonderful guest for you. She's been on before. Dr. Robin Chutkan is a gastroenterologist at Georgetown University, trained at Columbia, undergrad at Yale, so she's got a great pedigree, and that's actually a wonderful thing because she writes well, and the book is superb. The book is essentially everything you wanted to know about your microbiome. It's really called The Microbiome Solution, and I'm going to ask her the simple thing most of our listeners probably know because we talk about it so much, what your microbiome is, but Robin, if I can call you that, and by the way, you can go to her website to find out more about this book or other books. She's the one who wrote Gut Bliss, so it's gutbliss, BLISS.com is the website. Robin, what's the microbiome?
You know, it's a great place to start. The microbiome refers to the trillions of microbes, mostly bacteria, that live in and on our bodies, about 100 trillion in all.
And so those bacteria, you know, if you look at it 20 years ago, 1995 or even the year 2000, I'll bet most people didn't know and thought of the bacteria inside your gut as not being associated with causing disease or affecting disease. When did this really get appreciated, and is the knowledge about the microbiome and how it affects each of us going to just keep expanding exponentially?
This really is the next biggest frontier in medicine. Certainly when I was in medical school, which was between 1987 and 1991, we spent most of our time figuring out how to eradicate microbes. The idea was the cleaner the better, and not just clean hospitals, clean homes, but clean bodies. So our thinking of microbes as friends rather than foes, that has really developed in the last decade. And there's still lots of people out there, both healthcare professionals as well as people in the general public, who really sort of haven't gotten that message and still think that antibiotics are super helpful to take preventatively and that the cleaner we are, the better, and constantly using hand sanitizer. So we've actually known about the microbiome since the 1600s, when the Dutch scientist Antony van Leeuwenhoek first examined a little bit of his own dental plaque under the microscope and saw these little things moving around. But it's literally taken us about 400 years to figure out that the vast majority of our microbes are friends rather than foes, and that they are essential to our own health. So it really is a dramatic shift in the way we look at health, the way we look at bacteria, and the way we look at the relationship between the two.
Now, what we've learned in the last year, and this is a long question, so I apologize for it, but we've learned so much that different twins, for example, twin mice that have different microbiomes, one will get obese and one will stay thin. And the same thing with high blood pressure, as if the different microbiome, the different bacteria, are causing these changes. Is that likely, and are we likely to all do something about it, and what can we do other than a probiotic?
Well, the most important thing I want our audience to know is that this is an incredibly hopeful and optimistic message, the microbiome, because unlike your genes, which you can do nothing about, you sort of, you know, as my 10-year-old says, you get what you get and you don't get upset when it comes to your genes. When it comes to your microbiome, it's changing all the time. So the microbiome you go to bed with tonight is different from the microbiome you wake up with tomorrow. And we can influence that primarily through diet. Probiotics play a role too, and I know we'll get to both of those. But what we're finding is that so many diseases we thought were genetic, and identical twins that you started out asking about are a great example, because we know identical twins have identical genes, but they often have very different microbes. So there have been lots of studies looking at one lean, one obese, and we see that, yes, in fact, differences in the microbes are responsible for the differences in weight. We've done studies where we've looked at obese mice, and we take the microbes from obese mice and transplant them to germ-free lean mice, and lo and behold, the lean mice gain weight, and they become obese without any change in the diet. So we see that a lot of these characteristics are, in fact, governed by microbes. But the thing to remember is that what you eat influences your microbes. So, you know, it sounds great. If you're overweight, you just get some lean microbes and put them into your body. But if you're not feeding those lean microbes the right food, if you're not, as I like to say, growing a good gut garden with lots of plant fiber, then pretty soon you're going to be back to the same position you were in before. So microbes do seem to, in fact, influence things like weight. They certainly influence risk for diseases, including some diseases we thought were primarily genetic, some forms of heart disease and cancer. But again, they are themselves governed by what we eat.
Yeah, let's go back a little bit. So what our genes do and what the bacteria do are produce proteins. They take food in, and then they produce different proteins, and those proteins cause the reactions in our body. So one of the proteins we always talk about is trimethylamine from the red meat, carnitine, lecithin, and choline in red meat and egg yolks. They select or bacteria that like those foods select and grow healthy, and then they produce a lot of that protein which your body gets, which then causes inflammation in the rest of your body. And I guess the reason that the microbiome is so wonderful and so optimistic is that it can change quickly as opposed to your genes. So your genes will always produce those same proteins. You can turn them on or off a little bit. But what really you can change the proteins to a huge degree by the foods you eat and what bacteria are inside your gut grabbing those foods.
Yes. So, you know, Harvard scientists... Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, you know, I was so excited about what you were saying about the meat and the diet. There was a fantastic study where some scientists from Harvard took 9 volunteers and they put them on 2 extreme diets for 5 days each. And the first diet was just the sort of diet you describe, a high-fat, low-fiber diet with a lot of animal protein, things like pork rinds and brisket and salami and a lot of cheese. And the second diet was a low-fat, high-fiber vegan diet that was jasmine rice and onions and tomatoes and lentils and garlic with bananas and mangoes for snacks. And they analyzed their microbes before, during, and after each diet. And what was amazing is that the differences were apparent much faster than people realized. Within about 30 hours, the relative number of the various gut bacteria started to shift. But interestingly, the genes that were turned on or off changed too. So what we know is that the microbes can activate different genes depending on what the milieu is, depending on, you know, if there are a lot of bio-loving bacteria around because you've been eating a lot of red meat, the bilophilia, they activate different genes to help with the digestion of those things. So again, this sort of fatalistic view that, well, I'm going to get heart disease because everybody in my family has heart disease and it's genetic. You may have a genetic predisposition and an increased risk, but it's really the environmental trigger that determines whether that disease actually develops. And a big part of that environmental trigger is what your microbiome looks like.
We're going to have to go to break in a little bit, but when we come back, I want to ask you about aging and the microbiome. What we know about aging is that your microbiome, that is the number of different bacteria or different bacterial species in your gut, gets to be fewer and fewer. And the question will be for Robin is, and by the way, you can go to her website, Robin Chutkin, and the website is gutbliss.com. But the question I'm going to ask her is what she expects, if she expects that we will be able to change the rate of aging or slow aging over the next 5 to 10 years as this exponential knowledge about the microbiome increases and how to change your microbiome. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Go to gutbliss.com.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herbs or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving them to his family from the very start. You can find Michael's products at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or visit michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation today. That's michaelshealth.com.
Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among women in the United States. Better screening and treatment have contributed to a decline in breast cancer deaths. However, not all women have benefited equally from these improvements. Black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer compared to any other racial or ethnic group. We can all help reduce deaths from breast cancer. Healthcare professionals can ensure that women get the tests and treatment they need on time. Patient navigators can help guide women through the healthcare system so they get the care they need. Women need to educate themselves about breast cancer and talk to their healthcare provider about how to reduce their risk. The full benefit of breast cancer screening is achieved when every woman receives adequate screening, timely follow-up, and high-quality treatment. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it is. This is so great. Much fun.
Uh-huh. I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so
obvious.
Hey guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, M.D.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and we're talking with renowned, and I use that word carefully, renowned author and physician, Robin Chutkan, C-H-U-T-K-A-N. She's the author of Gut Bliss, as well as the new book, The Microbiome Solution. And this, like her other book, very readable, well-written, and essentially everything you want to know about your stool and everything else that has microbiome in it. When we went to break, I wanted to pose a question to her, which is one that I care a lot about, which is, as we get older, the generic, that is the general microbiome of the typical older person, has many fewer species in it than the typical younger person. And I don't know how much that, and or if it is known, how much that contributes to aging. So that's the question that I am asking Robin. Does that contribute to aging? What should we do? Is there a way? Should we, as we get older? What I do is I take a different probiotic every day of the week. That is a different pill formula of a probiotic each day of the week in the hopes of keeping diversity in my gut. And that's probably not the right thing to do. So let's ask Robin, what is the right thing to do as we get older?
Well, you're clearly doing a lot right. So I think it'd be really interesting to take a look at your microbiome and see what's going on. I have a feeling your microbes are in great shape. But it is clear by about age 3, our microbiome is almost fully formed. And it looks similar to that of most adults, although there's some major changes like puberty and pregnancy and menopause that are associated with some pretty big microbial shifts. But by the time we become senior citizens, we've lost a lot of our bacterial diversity, and our microbiome starts to look like it is there are two real things that change: the number of species and the species diversity. Both start to decrease. The interesting thing, though, is the microbiome of older people seems to be hardier, in the sense that when they take an antibiotic, it's more stable. You don't see an antibiotic wiping out a third of the microbiome the way you can see it in younger people. It seems to revert back to its previously established baseline after events like an infection or course of antibiotics. So the key here, then, is what that previously established baseline looks like. The goal is to get to the finish line, or really not quite the finish line, but the goal is to get to being a senior citizen, which is hardly the finish line, with a really intact microbiome. Because once you do that, then there's less movement and it's less resistant. But if you get to that age, and we're not exactly sure what that age is, I'm just using the generic term senior citizen, but if you get to that age with a microbiome in poor shape because you've overused antibiotics and you've eaten a standard Western diet full of fat and sugar and not enough plants, then yes, your microbiome is stable, but it's an unhealthy stable. So not a great idea. Another interesting thing we're finding out is that microbes play different roles.
Now, as you're getting older, are you changing what you're doing in either food or in probiotics? And what are you doing because of the risk of aging? You're just a young kid, if you will. You went to school between 87 and 91, you told us in the first segment. So you're almost a baby. But assuming that you're no longer, and actually if you look at her picture for the viewer, for the listeners, she looks like she should be carded for alcohol at age 18. But anyway, go ahead and tell us what you're doing.
Because I'm 50 next year, I'm born in 66, and I'll be, you know, an official AARP member, so it's very much on my mind. Two words: eat plants. Eat plants. More and more of them, because we know, again, we mentioned in the first segment, that if we're trying to encourage the growth of good bacteria, things like lactobacillus and acidophilus and bifidobacteria, they feed on plant fiber, indigestible plant fiber. So things that are high in a form of fiber called inulin. What's high in inulin? Leeks, asparagus, artichokes, lentils, oats, celery, the stringy green vegetables. Those are fantastic. I try and eat asparagus almost every day. I happen to love it. And I know it's a great food for the microbiome. Fermented foods like sauerkraut and kimchi or any kind of fermented vegetables are also wonderful. Pickles. Those are all things that are great for the microbiome. So you have to really think about the nutrient density of the food as it relates to the microbiome. And as luck would have it, the foods that have a high nutrient density to prevent other things like heart disease and so on, it's the same foods. It's fruits and vegetables. They're great for the microbiome. And you really see that as people age. You know, as I tell my patients, everybody sort of looks good at 20. You can't really tell the people who are drinking a six-pack of beer and eating a whole pizza every day. But as we age, we see that this changes. And this is another example where people say it's genetics. And we see it's really not. It's the way people are living. And we think a lot of it is reflected in the microbiome. So if we look at some of these blue zone areas where people live very long, we see that not only do they eat a lot of plants, but they use very little medication. And most of these medications really pose a real threat to our microbiome. So they're not using steroids. They're not using hormones. They're not using antibiotics. They're not using non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs.
Let me come back to that antibiotics, because there are a couple questions from listeners, one of which is, we just went over that Subway, Wendy's, Burger King, Denny's, Domino's, Starbucks, and all received Fs on antibiotic usage because they use it. And the question is, does the antibiotic in food change our microbiome, and for how long? And the second question, different listener, how long does the antibiotics, does it take to rebuild your microbiome afterwards?
Both great questions. So we'll tackle the first one first. A whopping 80% of all the antibiotics sold in the U.S. are used in the animal industry. That's an incredible amount of antibiotics, and it does affect your microbiome. Those antibiotics can confer drug resistance in the animals who are eating them, and that can be passed on to us, as well as antibiotic effect. So some of the really unusual things we're seeing in our society now, precocious puberty is one, where we're seeing young girls at 7 and 8 and 9 developing, going through puberty, getting, you know, growing their reproductive organs and starting to menstruate really several years earlier than they should be. And we think a lot of that has to do with not just hormones, but antibiotics in the food that the kids are ingesting. So it absolutely can profoundly, it's not somehow sort of destroyed when we cook the meat and eat it. It is absolutely, it gets into our microbiome, and it can actually jump from bacterial DNA in the animals we're eating and incorporate into our own DNA. So that's important to keep in mind. How long does it take? We've gotten into this mindset that you can just sort of remediate any damage from an antibiotic by taking a probiotic. I hear that in my office every day. Oh, I'll just take a probiotic and I'll be fine. Well, given the fact that most broad-spectrum antibiotics, a five-day course removes a third of your gut bacteria, it can take you years to rebuild that, and those species may never all come back. So it's like emptying a bathtub and then refilling it with a cup of water.
When you come back, we hope Robin Chutkan will come back, C-H-U-T-K-N. GutBliss.com is the website. Thanks very much for talking about your microbiome. We'll be right back